Hello, this is Wallace Kleindienst, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Northland Views. We'll be reading today from the White Mountain Independent and the Payson Roundup. And from the White Mountain Independent, from Pine Top, is a headline: Privatization Concerns Ripple Across Rainbow Lake Community, a story by Tony Gibbons. Concerns about the future of Rainbow Lake, public access, fish stocking, water rights litigation, and the long-term health of one of the White Mountain's most recognizable landmarks dominated a June 1 Zoom board meeting of the Rainbow Lake Conservation Company. Residents, lakefront property owners, and conservation advocates spent nearly 2 hours discussing a proposal by the Sholo Pine Top Woodland Irrigation Company that could fundamentally change how the lake is used and accessed. The irrigation company is in a situation where the amount of money that they bring in every year is going to litigation costs, RLCC Board President David Derrickson said. According to Derrickson, the irrigation company receives approximately $70,000 annually through water use dues, but has lost approximately $36,000 in annual contributions from the town of Pine Top Lakeside that had supported Woodland Lake over the past 3 years. Derrickson said the company also continues to spend approximately $10,000 per month on attorneys involved in water rights matters stemming from the Hopi and Navajo water rights settlement. Debbie Yost noted that RLCC has also contributed $36,000 annually for the past 3 years, and that 95% of that money was contributed by homeowners at the shores. Derrickson said, "The litigation established that the irrigation company is entitled to water rights that it has." He said, "I don't understand why they have to pay $10,000 a month to an attorney in St. John's establishing water rights that have already been established." Debbie Yost encouraged attendees to consider the irrigation company's perspective as well. She said, "I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the local families who created Rainbow Lake from Walnut Creek by creating a dam 110 years ago for the purpose of saving water for irrigation needs." She added, "There needs to be a contributory cost to maintaining a recreational lake enjoyed by the public. We can't just say that the irrigation guys are the bad guys." Several participants said they believe the irrigation company is considering user fees as a way to generate additional revenue. Derrickson said, "The idea is that each lakefront owner will have to pay something for the usage of the lake. While no formal proposal has been presented publicly, attendees repeatedly referenced estimates that between $100,000 and $150,000 annually may be needed to address maintenance and legal costs. The possibility that Rainbow Lake could become a private use lake generated some of the biggest reactions during the meeting." And from Sholo is a headline: Sequoia Village School ends the school year with education, excitement, and celebration. A story by Vicky Matsumanji. Sequoia Village School ended the year with two events designed for fun, entertainment, and education. On April 23rd, the charter school hosted a health fair for its K through 8 students. Principal J. Beth Coolish noted that family members of the students participated in the 20-minute rotations through community partner booths, demonstrating mirrored skills. She said, for example, getting outdoors, active games, safety, healthy eating, gardening, and other activities. Each community partner illustrated a situation that people encounter at some point in life regarding law and order, water safety while swimming or boating, trauma, and dealing with mental health issues. With the help of Nexus Coalition, students were warned of the consequences of vaping and the bodily damage it causes, or experienced how it feels to be drunk while wearing virtual reality goggles. Navajo County Public Health covered the effects of drinking and being drunk. The Arizona Game and Fish Department covered water safety issues, while the Navajo County Sheriff's Office provided an overview of law and order. Navajo Apache Electric Cooperative had a tin man that showed how the wrong encounter with electricity can cook something from the inside out. Each community partner conveyed strong messages of safety for one's health and wellness through life. On April 30th, Sequoia students welcomed the final annual fundraiser called the Spring Festival. The children and their parents enjoyed activities such as face painting, a cupcake walk, and a bounce house to expend energy and excitement. People had to guess how many Skittles were in a jar and bid on a huge lineup of Spring Festival baskets for raffle at the end of the event. The Spring Festival is our yearly fundraiser that helps support our student clubs and organizations, including Fine Arts, K-8 Student Council, HS Student Council, National Honor Society, and Library, Coolidge said. Other activities included a cornhole competition, milk bottle bowling, water bottle flip, and a petting zoo, in addition to plenty of snacks and soft drinks. Seeing our students and families having a great time together is always an event to celebrate the end of the school year, Coolidge added. And from St. John's is the headline, Apache County Planning and Zoning Recommends Renewable Energy Moratorium, a story by Jen Moriah. After hearing nearly 40 public comments, the Apache County Planning and Zoning Commission voted on June 3rd to recommend that the Apache County Board of Supervisors consider adopting a temporary moratorium on renewable energy conditional use permit applications. The agenda item called for discussion and a possible recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding a temporary pause on renewable energy conditional use permit applications while the county continues reviewing issues related to renewable energy development. Following public comment, the commission approved the recommendation in a vote of 6-2. Commissioners Kerry Dobson, Bobby Feit, Kay Hauser, Chair Brad Tank Peterson, Vice Chair Bob Pollock, and Michael Bregelow voted in favor of the recommendation. Commissioners Brad Jarvis and Travis Johnson voted against it. More than 20 community members and business representatives spoke in support of the proposed moratorium, while nearly 10 speakers opposed it. Those opposed included the attorney representing EDF's Juniper Springs Solar Project, two employees of Triple Oak Power, and four ranchers who have been in discussions with Triple Oak Power during the past several years. The recommendation will now be forwarded to the Apache County Board of Supervisors for consideration. This is a developing story, a full report from the meeting, including additional public comment and background on the county's renewable energy ordinance review, will follow in due time. And from Navajo County is the headline, Foundations Award Over $20,000 in Scholarships to Northland Pioneer College Students. Set to the melodies of well-known local musician and Northland Pioneer College faculty in English, Ryan David Orr, The House Restaurant, KGJ Roofing, White Mountain Autism, and the Darren Reed Foundation recently awarded over $20,000 in scholarships to Northland Pioneer College students for the upcoming 2026-27 school year. The students gathered with their friends and families for a meal on the house, courtesy of the House Restaurant and owners Chris and Michelle Corbin. A native of the White Mountains, Corbin is passionate about giving back to the community. He is particularly interested in investing in and supporting local students in their pursuit of a college education. This is the sixth consecutive year that he and his wife, Michelle, have awarded NPC On the House scholarships to graduating seniors from Blue Ridge, Sholo, and Snowflake High Schools to continue their studies at Northland Pioneer College. Blue Ridge High School senior Brooklyn Fowler Pacheco, Sholo senior Marilee Sandoval, and Snowflake senior Shaylee Troutman each took home NPC On the House scholarships worth $2,200 apiece. Those scholarships will cover the cost of tuition for the first year at NPC. Once again, Kenny Garvin, owner of KGJ Roofing, joined in giving. Garvin is generally interested in seeing local students succeed by learning a trade or a skill. I'm all about growing our own, Kenny said. For him, success is when a student can learn something, do it well, love it, and build a successful career working in the community. This year's awardee of the KGJ Roofing Building Futures One Roof at a Time Scholarship in the amount of $3,000 went to Dylan Passanar of Blue Ridge High School. Last year's KGJ Scholarship recipient, Jack Harris of Holbrook, also joined the Scholarship Night's festivities. Jack will continue to be supported by KGJ Roofing throughout his journey and has a bright future ahead of him, having earned his welding and OSHA certifications and top accolades at NPC. The KGJ Roofing Scholarship covers the cost for a student to attend NPC in a career or technical educational field. The scholarship is awarded to a graduating senior from any one of the following area high schools: Alcosay, Blue Ridge, Holbrook, Mogollon, Round Valley, St. John, Sholo, Snowflake, or Winslow. It covers tuition, books, and fees for students interested in pursuing in careers in fields like automotive technology, welding, behavioral health, law enforcement, industrial technology, nursing, paramedicine, business, and more. The Darren Reed Foundation awarded scholarships worth $1,500 each to six NPC students who are studying in EMT, paramedic, fire science, and justice studies. The recipients of the Darren Reed NPC scholarships were Lance Charleston, Colby Garvin, Susan Kimsey, Malachi Casey, Serenity Smith, and Jared Stone. Each year, the foundation assists local students with tens of thousands of dollars in financial support. The foundation also supports local first responders with funding that they can access in critical instances to assist people in times of need and ensure that local agencies have the tools and knowledge required to protect our communities. In partnership with the Darren Reed Foundation, the White Mountain Autism Foundation added to the pool of awards with a $1,000 scholarship to NPC student Caleb Pike. That foundation supports the lives of local special needs individuals, their families, and the community. These scholarships are facilitated by NPC Friends and Family, the nonprofit foundation that supports students at NPC. Jesse Reek, executive director of NPC Friends and Family, applauded the group's efforts to affect students' lives through scholarship. And returning to Pine Top is the headline, Walking Down Ranch Chooses Housing Over Headquarters, a story by Tony Gibbons. A planned $100,000 office building at Walking Down Ranch has given way to a different priority. Walking Down Ranch leaders have shifted their focus to upgrading electrical infrastructure, remodeling veteran housing, and expanding programs designed to help veterans transition into permanent housing and employment. After demolishing the aging cabin that once served as a Walking Down Ranch office, Board of Directors CEO Kenny Sullivan and other members envisioned replacing it with a new building. But a closer look at the needs of the nearly century-old property revealed more pressing concerns. Power poles were failing, electrical systems needed upgrades, cabins housing veterans required extensive repairs to meet modern standards, so the plans changed. Instead of investing in a new office, the board redirected its resources toward infrastructure improvements and housing upgrades designed to serve veterans for years to come. Navajo Apache Electric Co-op said that we had to put in new power poles to bring everything up to code, said Richard Thompson, vice president of the ranch's board of directors. The poles are being replaced at a cost of about $3,500 each, and there are other improvements. New gravel has been spread across much of the property, and nine of the ranch's 18 cabins are being brought up to code with updated kitchens and bathrooms, new flooring, fresh paint. The renovation work averages about $2,500 per cabin. Instead of a new office, the ranch recently completed a new courtyard featuring a flagpole, concrete walkways, and a grassy gathering area. The $30,000 project has become a welcoming center place for residents and visitors alike. Office operations have since been relocated to the kitchen and common area building, where veterans continue to have access to a kitchen, shower, and laundry facilities, whether they live on the property or simply need assistance while getting back on their feet. For Sullivan, every improvement ties back to one mission. He said, "My goal for the entire team is to help 60 veterans every year, get them back on their feet, and into housing. More than just a place to stay, the ranch currently assists about 30 veterans annually, with 8 veterans living on the property while participating in the 90-day program designed to help them find employment, secure housing, and regain stability. You're tuned in to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of the Northland Views. And turning to sports is the headline, Ryder Hall wins 2 events in state track meet, story by Keith Morris. Division IV schools just can't compete with Division I and II schools in track and field. Well, usually. But the Lobos didn't get that memo. Fresh off winning their 6th consecutive Division IV crown a week earlier, Snowflake boys track team threatened to beat even the elite big schools with the AIA Track and Field State Championships at Mesa Community College back on May 15th and 16th. Well, they weren't all that fresh as they dealt with health issues that makes their 9th place final standing all the more impressive. Division I Mesa Red Mountain won with 58 points, followed by Division I Chandler Basha, Division I Chandler Hamilton, Division II Gilbert Campo Verde, Division I Chandler, Division III Flagstaff, Division I Gilbert Williams Field tied for 5th, Division I Glendale Mountain Ridge, and the Lobos. Senior Ryder Hall, who won 4 individual titles in the Division IV championships, won both a triple jump and high jump. Ryder may have won the long jump, but placed 4th with a jump of 23 feet, 1.25 inches, while dealing with an injury, which kept him from competing in the 110-meter hurdles finals. Despite the injury, Ryder won the high jump by clearing a personal record 6 feet 10 inches. Ryder won the triple jump, but had some quad issues after his prelims in the hurdles on Friday, which set him back for Saturday, Snowflake coach Elisa LaDuke wrote on social media. Despite being injured, Ryder got 4th in the long jump. He would have certainly won if he were not injured. He wasn't able to hurdle in the finals because of his quad injury. Despite his injury, Ryder powered on to high jump and won with a personal best of 6'10". It was beautiful, Elisa LaDuke said. Ryder Hall led the Lobos to a 9th place showing in the meet. It's pretty incredible, the coach said. We had a shot to win the whole thing, but injuries kept the stars from aligning for us. I'm so proud of our boys' team. Senior Conover Pitts placed 5th in the 300 hurdles, lowering his school record to 38.50 seconds. Junior Jacob LaDuke won his preliminary heat on Friday in the 100 and earned the number 2 seed for finals. However, Jacob pulled his hamstring in the 200, a race he was on track to make the finals in. Senior Gian Jones, junior Seth Lancaster, senior Hayden Nichols, and Pitts placed 5th in the 4x400 with a time of 3 minutes, 19 seconds, and 14 tenths. Gian is still recovering from an injury but made it through, the coach wrote. I'm proud of that scrappy group. It's so exciting. Sholo Junior High Lily Angel finished 5th in the javelin with a personal record best of 124 feet, 6 inches. She also placed 13th in the shot put. For Blue Ridge, junior Noel Harris placed 11th in the high jump. Blue Ridge senior Miley Hamblin placed 17th in the 300 hurdles. Blue Ridge took 16th in the 4x400. Sholo freshman Corbin Wood tied for 10th in the pole vault. St. John senior Desmond Brown tied for 14th. Round Valley junior Tyree Williams placed 15th in the discus, and St. John's senior Sam Winters finished 16th in the triple jump. And furthermore in sports is a headline, Mogollon players recognized on all 1A East baseball team, story by Keith Morris as well. A Mogollon baseball team loaded with talented veterans reached the 1A state championships final. And coaches recognized the depth of that talent in voting for the All-1A East and All-State teams. Senior Rocky Porter earned first-team All-State and 1A East co-player of the year to lead a big group of Mustangs so recognized. Senior Stetson Owens joined Porter on the 1A All-State first team and was one of 4 Mustangs named to the All-Region First Team, along with classmates Quinn Tenney, Brody Porter, and Yo-Yo Serez. Tenney, Porter, and Serez were honorable mention All-State. Three more Mustangs made the All-1A East Second Team, seniors Eric Starks and Parker Ridehead, and junior Kristen Burton. Seniors Slade Reynolds and juniors Alejandro and Anthony Pimentel were honorable mention All-Region. The Mustangs went 5-3 and finished second in the region to number one Hayden. Mugion reached the state final as the number two seed, losing to number four Williams. Number three Ray, which finished third in the 1A East, beat Hayden in the quarterfinals. Well, that wraps up the news from the White Mountain Independent. We now travel along the Mugion Rim West to Payson to headlines from the Payson Roundup. The first headline, Payson Council candidates offer contrasting priorities. A story by Peter Aylshire. The six candidates vying for three seats on the Payson Town Council offered contrasting backgrounds and priorities at an amiable but intense two-hour public forum last week. The July 21st election will fill three council seats. Two of them are vacant. Two-time councilor Jim Ferris is running for a third term. He has formed a slate that includes Mayor Steve Otto, retired projects manager Brooke Myers, and Gary Pfister, a longtime Payson resident. Three other candidates are also seeking seats. They haven't formally declared themselves a slate, but they make frequent appearances together. This group includes Payson orthodontist Ben McDowell, local businessman Bobby Lowry, and Keep Payson Clean head Jesse Berry. Generally, Myers, Pfister, and Ferris stressed backing away from overly ambitious infrastructure projects to instead focus on reducing the town's debts and taxes. They sharply criticized previous councils for a failed $70 million infrastructure bond and two increases in the town's sales tax. McDowell and Lowry stressed the need to support local businesses, encourage responsible growth, and provide needed infrastructure. They argued the town has made it too hard for new businesses to come to Payson and failed to invest in the infrastructure necessary to secure the town's future. Berry had a similar emphasis with more stress on creating a community that encouraged young people to stay after they graduate from high school and inspiring citizens to serve the community. This is the second in a series of articles that the Roundup will write on the positions the candidates have staked out in the forum, which was sponsored by the Payson Tea Party and staged at the Ponderosa Bible Church on June 1st. And for our final headline from the Payson Roundup today, Alice Cooper grateful to nice guy after credit card left in Payson gas pump. Story by David Bola. Rock and roll legend Alex Cooper recently gained some faith in at least one nice guy. Following a golf outing earlier this month in Payson, the godfather of shock rock, Alice Cooper, accidentally left his credit card in a gas pump. Fortunately, a fan named Jeff Guy, who happened to be camping in Rim Country, found it, recognized the famous name Alex Cooper, and called Cooper's team. Jeff Guy met up with Alex Cooper at his teen center in Phoenix on Monday, June 8th, to return the card and meet the man himself. The guy is a legend for people of my generation, that's for sure, and I'm really glad I could help get it back to him, Guy told 12 News in the Valley. A day after his card was returned, Alice Cooper took off for a five-week European tour. It's one of those things, if I found the card, you know, I would say, I don't know how to get this to the right person, said Alice Cooper. Luckily, they live right here, and this is synonymous with me, so that was a good call. Cooper was born Vincent Damien Frenier in Detroit, Michigan on February 4, 1948. Formed in Phoenix in 1964 by Frenier, guitarist Glenn Buxton and Michael Bruce, bassist Dennis Dunaway, and drummer Neil Smith, the band Alice Cooper released seven studio albums from 1969 to 1973. In 1975, Frenier began a solo career and legally changed his name to Alice Cooper, becoming a global success story, music industry icon, and eventually earning a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, we'll end the news today with that story about Alice Cooper retrieving his credit card. This wraps up the Wednesday edition of Northland Views. This is Wallace Kleindienst, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back with you next week for the Wednesday edition of Northland Views.